What's up, Clip Ships? You know what it is. It's your dudes, William, the Opinion Updike.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
How's it going, guys? Monday already.
Great weekend.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today.
As always.
We got a little recap of the matchup against the Bucks. Great win.
Oh, that was great.
I think I called that one.
You absolutely did. I was totally wrong about it. I predicted that Lou would literally miss the game winner.
What else? What else is new? Chuck, guessing wrong. And then it's Monday, so that means our weekly segment, The Freshies, where we talk about who and what should be getting more playing time. And then we're going to get into a little bit of preview of tonight's highly touted matchup against the somewhat injured Warriors.
Kind of injured.
Is it time for the Clippers to pounce? Find out all that and more coming up. And then we'll also get into some big, big picture NBA stuff. We'll talk about the Butler trade. We'll talk about the fiasco in Houston. I don't even know what else to call it.
That's a good word for it.
But before we do that, guys, if you're new to the podcast or if this is your first time, we are Locked On Clippers. We're coming at you 5 days a week, part of the Locked On NBA Network. They're all coming at you 5 days a week. Locked On Bengals, Locked On Clippers, Locked On Warriors. I don't know why I threw a football team
in there, though.
But you know what? they're out there. They're doing the thing. Come check it out for like the local perspective on big picture news in the sport of your choice. They're great, we're great, you're great, listen to it.
So, this weekend, what a game.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Goofy-ass start time, 12:30 p.m. on a Saturday should not be when any professional basketball team plays a game.
I was really unclear what to do with my whole day.
Yeah, because I got up, didn't really know what to do, and then I like had a beer too early and was like, my day's shot.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, it's 12, I guess I'm going to drink a beer now.
For those of you who miss it for whatever reason, the Clippers won on a buzzer beater from Lou Williams in overtime.
Classic.
He said his eyes were closed when he made the buzzer beater.
Classic. Falling right, shooting left, three defenders around him. Threading the needle.
Threading the needies. Let's run some stats down real quick. Trez had his best game of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Better than his 30-point game. He had 26-9 off the bench.
And the eye test, phenomenal.
Oh, my God.
It just seemed like I didn't look at the box score of this game until actually, like, I gave it a good day or two,
yeah,
maybe
to come
even
down from the high that was the victory.
Yeah, and it just seemed like, I know I've said this before, but it seemed like he was involved in every single play.
Every single play.
There wasn't a moment where Trez was out there and he wasn't affecting the game.
And he was playing with pure joy.
Yeah.
I tweeted it out. There was a point where he hit a dunk, and then as he was running backwards, he was doing, like, a little shoulder roll. And I was like, this man is having fun right now.
Yeah. He's very fun to watch in between plays.
He plays with intensity, but there's a fun aspect to it.
Absolutely.
Which is phenomenal. Shea had maybe his best game of the year.
Once again, so impactful. 16-4-6. I feel like that stat line doesn't read as impressive as I feel like it was watching him play.
Yeah, we're going to get into that on the freshies after this segment, but he hit a late three, mm-hmm, that was huge. He hit two free throws that were big. And then something that for some reason wasn't a highlight, Bledsoe had a chance to take the lead for the Bucks with, I don't know, let's call it 15 seconds left.
Yeah.
Shea got the block.
Yeah.
Shea got the block that led to the Lou game winner.
It was huge.
It was unbelievable. Tobias had 20-11.
Very consistent.
Keeping his streak alive. Lou had the game winner, which I thought that he would miss. He had 12-5-10. Is he a low-key great distributor?
Oh, absolutely.
Does that not get talked about enough?
I think his playmaking has always been underrated.
This team does not quit.
No.
This was such an extrapolation of how great the victory was against the Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah.
When we, you know, there were some runs and stuff like that. If we were in Milwaukee, this game I think maybe would have been different. The Bucks went on that crazy run in the second quarter.
Yeah. I was clenched for a lot of that final quarter. That was, I don't know. It was just so back and forth, and I felt like at any moment it was ours to lose.
Absolutely.
That's how I felt like this game. Like, I felt like it was kind of ours.
And overtime was sloppy.
Yeah.
For both teams.
Yeah.
Overtime was kind of sloppy. The game winner opportunity for the Clippers in regulation was a Gallo step back over Giannis,
mm-hmm,
which if it's anyone else, I'm fine with that shot selection, but we couldn't really get into a set. Over Giannis, that's a tough shot to do.
Yeah.
We couldn't really get into a set to do that. Gallo played well, played kind of tentative later in the game, which I think kind of led to maybe...
Do you think there was some fatigue going on there? This was the first time I've noticed
it. For Gallo specifically?
Yeah, where it looked like he was maybe a little tired.
I could see that. He has been playing a ton, and I, you know, both of us kind of err on that side of caution. We'd rather have him rest than overexert himself.
Absolutely.
So, a big storyline on this was obviously Trez having the game of his life. Beverly also had his best game of the year. Offensively, Beverly was unbelievable.
Oh, undoubtedly. We've talked about this a little bit on our other pod, our sister pod. But I think that it was so key for him to hit those shots early. I think he had the confidence and the rhythm that he was just kind of able to tune into.
What do you have, 21 points?
Something like that.
And he looked like Steph Curry.
Yeah.
The highlights are phenomenal because it's just Patrick Beverly getting the ball, looking his defender in the eye, and just splashing a three-pointer.
Yeah, he looked really, really good. Sorry, the exact number, he finished with 21 on that.
21, nice. And then Mike Scott gave exactly what we needed from the bench.
100%.
He took 7 three-pointers. He made 3 of them.
He comes out. He makes shots. He's like a magnet for the defense. You can't give him too much space.
Yep.
He helps, you know, he helps the other guys get shots. He opens some lanes.
It was fantastic.
It was really great. I guess just a few stray observations.
Yeah.
Our bench doubled their output.
Wow. I knew it was big. I didn't know it was that big.
Yeah. I had talked earlier in the season that I was actually kind of surprised at the depth of Milwaukee's bench. Nothing compared to this Clippers lineup.
No, nothing compares to us.
Their starters did outscore us by almost 23 entire points.
That's
so that bench came in like...
It was
like
huge.
Bench came in so clutch. We ended up with like I think we had 2 extra rebounds than they did.
Yeah, 54 to 52, I believe.
Yeah, very, very close there.
But we'll take that win.
100%. Same amount of turnovers, which, I mean, 17 I still think is high.
That's
for
a
this
lot.
This squad. That's higher than it has even been the last couple of games.
Yeah.
I do think, though, we've talked about this before, that this group is still kind of like, even though they're gelled, they get sometimes a little emotional, I feel like, in pressure situations.
Definitely.
Where they're not making the smart play. They're kind of succumbing to the other team's pace.
When you play with that intensity that's ratcheted up like they do, I think it's a little, you know, you get one hair in the bearing and it messes the whole wheel up.
Oh, yeah.
So the closing lineup was Shea, Lou, Harris, Gallo, Trez. Which was awesome to watch.
Do you think
Trez makes that whole thing work? But sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah, it was so great to watch. Love that lineup. Loved seeing Ty and Rome get some play.
Mm-hmm.
We had a sin sighting.
I had a real quick question from Twitter before we go into the freshies in just a couple seconds. This Twitter user said, "I really liked the Ty sin early call against the Bucks, but why was Milos a DNP? Why do you think he was a DNP?"
I would guess that the matchup isn't super favorable.
I think
for
it's
him.
An athleticism thing.
And then, you know, you just got to worry about injuries with Milos. I just feel like all the time.
Yeah. So. Everyone is faster than him on the Bucks too. So I think defensively it would have been really bad to have him out there.
Yeah.
Distribution would have been nice, but we didn't really need it.
No.
So we say that now after getting the win, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Yeah, they actually moved the ball more than we did, but we still came out with the dub. So
giant win, statement win for the Clippers, I would say.
Absolutely.
No one really seems to be talking about it, which is odd. You know what I mean?
Par like, for the course.
They took down the Bucks. Guys, coming up after this break, we're going to be going into the Freshies, which is our weekly segment of what rookies and new guys we want to see more of. But first, the Locked On Podcast Network is doing crazy things on Twitter and Instagram. If you're new to Locked On in general, follow Locked On Net on Instagram and Twitter to get all of the local news from your local hosts. It's great during games for some like quick breakdowns and stuff like that. Instagram gives you a little longer stories and whatnot. There's great highlights. Make sure to check them out. That's Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. So this week's freshies, we just mentioned him. We got to see Ty Wallace play 12 minutes last game.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Do you think that's a sign we're going to see him more forward? Or was this an anomaly?
Tough to say. I think with Bradley back in the lineup, we're definitely not seeing 12 minutes.
12
of time.
Minutes. Yeah, for sure. He played pretty well.
Yeah. He played all right. Let me see his final stat line here.
He was very energetic.
Yeah, he finished with 5-1-1.
So. Yeah, so like fine.
Fine for 12 minutes for a guy who's like getting his like
legs back underneath him.
I mean, I feel like it's, you know, he hasn't been facing NBA competition, so.
It was nice to see him get actual minutes as opposed to like the 35 seconds we sometimes check in for him.
Yeah.
Funny note about the game against the Bucks, Boban registered 0.03 seconds of playtime. He was only there to defend the final inbounds pass from Giannis, which he did end up tipping.
Yeah,
which
huge.
Is he's a specialized weapon. My next note for the freshies is just, LOL, how great is Shea?
Oh, yeah. Man, finished with the best plus minus of the entire team, which was great when he's out there for 40 minutes, man.
Dude, I can't believe he played 40 minutes.
It's wild. He played the entirety of a college game.
We talked about this a little bit before we started doing the pod. If he was on a team like Trae Young is or Luka is, where mm-hmm. the team is kind of built around you, I think he's obviously in contention for Rookie of the Year. He's not currently.
I agree.
Because we're a winning team.
I agree.
But he's looked so ahead of the game.
He really, really does. And, you know, moving forward, though, this will be a team, like, he will be a piece that we build around. I think that this entire season, like, no matter what our situation was, that was the litmus test. Like, how for big sure. of a cornerstone can this player be? How dependable can they be for us to build around? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, bring him into the fold with the intention of that he's going to be the big facilitator
absolutely.
For whatever star we get next year.
Absolutely, but we're still in the rarefied position where like we don't exactly need him to contribute in a super significant way.
For sure.
You know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like okay, this franchise is solely on your back right now.
Thank God that's not the situation.
So I think that is like just a great combination of things. Will it hurt his stock in like Rookie of the Year stuff? Of course. Would I be very surprised if he didn't make the All-Rookie team? Yeah, I would not watch the game. I would not watch All-Star
insane,
Weekend.
Dude, if he wouldn't make it. Yeah, God, I would be so furious. Milos made it last year, and he didn't want to play because he wanted to give the young guys a shot, which is great. Yeah, the Avery Bradley injury has really kind of thrust him into the spotlight, and I think it's nice, too, because when you have a player like Shea, you can give Bradley a little more time to come back.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a rush to get Bradley out there because we have such a drop-off. Which is kind of the luxury of having 50 guards on the roster.
Yeah.
Which is good. Going to do a quick check-in. This is our first check-in of the year on the Agua Caliente Clippers. Just wanted to throw this in there. Shout out to Yusef Roach. Big Agua Caliente Clippers. Great comedian. Jerome is crushing it right now.
That's great.
Which is awesome. He had 26 last night, going 6-for-7 from beyond the arc.
On a back-to-back.
And he got recalled for the game tonight.
Yeah.
So him and Sindarius might both play tonight. I actually think it'll maybe be Jerome. Early season favorite of mine, Angel Delgado, cool 10-11, putting up those classic double-doubles. Jonathan Motley, this is kind of an interesting thing. With how much, I guess, angst or, I mean, Gortat played the last couple games, which has been good, but he really, like, was awful in the second half against the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pure garbage.
Yeah.
Motley had 26-15 last night in the G League. It's his third straight game of at least 23 points and 14 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that like this is the guy of, I mean, because we already get the luxury of getting to see more Shea and Ty. This is the guy for today's freshies that I think, like, why are we not seeing him in the lineup yet?
I agree, dude. Like,
well, I just don't, like, there's not a reason.
He doesn't have to start.
No, absolutely
like,
not.
And like we've said this before, the minutes peter out that whoever really starts doesn't even end up getting the most minutes at the center position.
Yeah.
So like maybe start Boban for a couple minutes and then put Motley in.
I agree. I mean, like, even if we just work him in slow and we're just playing him like a minute or two during each quarter, like,
yeah,
let's see what he looks like against NBA competition, you know?
He showed last year that he can absolutely... I think he averaged last year in the G League like 22-12.
Well, the thing is for me is, I mean, you and I have both acknowledged on this pod that, you know, the center position, while we do have some definite highlights, it is A, small, and B, can be thin depending on the competition.
It's a goofy core.
So I think that, like, if we see that Motley is already ready to go, or like we get a chance to give him some experience, he's ready to go. I think that that changes what our goal should be approaching free agency and approaching next season.
That's a really good call. I hadn't gone in depth with it, but I really like that take because it's like if he can be a serviceable two, we're not asking him to be a one.
Yeah.
Because our team right now is kind of consisted, other than like the top guys, like say Lou, Tobias and Gallo. Our team is consists of a lot of twos in terms of second options that are great together.
Yeah.
And so if we could build that center position with three guys, kind of like a platoon like they do in baseball with like the different outfielders and stuff like that, why not platoon it with Motley, Trez, Boban, and then like a random other, maybe more archetype center who isn't Marcin Gortat?
Yeah, definitely.
Like that would be a really cool core to watch.
Yeah.
I hope Motley gets recalled soon. I think maybe after this stretch we'll see him.
Yeah.
After we
I guess I just don't understand why now. I mean, like, why not now?
Yeah, after we play the Warriors tonight, the Spurs on Thursday, we have a pretty easy 8 games after that. Like the Spurs a couple times, or not, play the Suns a couple times, like the Mavs, the Hawks. That's maybe a time when we'll see Motley, hopefully.
Here's the thought. He can only be brought up for so many games because of the nature of a two-way contract.
Yeah.
Do you think they're maybe holding out so we could have him through the playoffs?
That would be tight. Oof, man. Questions galore right now. I like that idea. That's
secret
our
weapon.
Secret weapon. We got him. We got Boban. We got so many freaking secret weapons. We're like a spy agency. Guys, after this advertisement, that has been Freshies. We're going to give you a little game preview of the game tonight against the Warriors.
So, Steph is out. Livingston questionable. This game seems very in our sights.
I agree. Trez had a great quote where he said, they have to come in here and play us.
Yeah.
We're not playing them.
Which I also really like our odds of.
Oh, yeah. I hope the Staples Center's rocking tonight. Classic rockin' Staples Center, as every LA Clippers fan says.
Crazy rockin' Staples Center.
So, what we need to do to win, their center position is bad.
Okay.
In a vacuum, that's a bad center position that they have.
Yeah. What do they got? Jordan Bell, Damian Jones. Is Draymond playing tonight?
Yes.
Draymond
is officially playing tonight.
Okay.
But even at the five, I think Trez matches up well against Draymond.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, we got to eat on these boards.
Definitely.
I want to see a whole mess of boards these guys are getting faced first in.
A slate. I got to be full of boards.
I have a note here that Trez should be able to destroy down low against the combination of Jordan Bell and Damian Jones.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like people he can kind of bully. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is like another one of those games where it's like the tools are kind of, I feel like, at our disposal. You know, we have some size on them.
This game feels like when you're putting together a piece of IKEA furniture and everything is laid out in front of you and you're doing that thing where you're looking like corner to corner to corner to corner. You're like, I know how to do this.
Yeah.
I just gotta get it done.
Yeah. The defensive ratings for both of our team are like neck and neck. I think we might be 15th of 30 and they are 16th.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you know, we're defensively a pretty solid matchup.
Yeah, average.
Which I think is, like, I think will benefit our scores, especially having a little bit of that extra size.
Yes.
You know, we're always kind of flip-flopping whether this is a big team or a small team, but I think our forwards matched against their forwards, this is a big team. I am curious to see, like, who ends up spending the most time guarding Durant.
Yeah.
As I don't see that, as an assignment that really favors Beverly at all.
Anyone, really.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, Gallo can be a body there and is large.
But he's going to get cooked.
He's going to get cooked, probably. I think this is going to be another game where, like, we need to communicate better on the switches, obviously.
For sure.
And, like, Trez needs to be ready to slide over. I've talked about this before in this podcast, but, like, sometimes I don't know if he's just too locked in or he's, you know, hesitant to expend the extra effort given how long the game is. But, like, sometimes he doesn't slide over to help on somebody else's man. And it, you know, it allows for easy driving lanes.
And that goes back to that game against the Bucks. Doc actually called him out at halftime about that. He was like, you're too good of a player to be doing this. And Trez was like, you're right.
Yeah.
And started to crush.
Yeah.
So Draymond is back after missing a couple games. Let's tire him out.
Yeah.
Let's put weird, I don't know, if he's playing center, let's get Boban out there and make Draymond try and guard Boban.
Totally.
That seems like a situation where he would be so frustrated.
Yeah, I think that he could, like, very easily get Draymond into foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really irritating matchup.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would definitely be interested to see how that plays out. And then, obviously, the majority of the time, I feel like it's going to be a battle between Trez and Dre.
Yeah. So, what could go wrong for you?
What could go wrong for me? I mean, I think that if we're stagnant at all with ball movement, they're going to crush us. Like, like, you know, we have games where sometimes we're hesitant to move the ball or we're deferring to somebody, like everyone's a little tentative or something. That's not going to fly. Like, you know, we can't really waste any possessions against this team.
Agreed.
They've got the greatest offense
ever
in the league.
Yeah.
Even with Steph out.
Yeah. They still got Clay and Durant.
Yeah.
So it's like, I hope one of those guys only goes for over 30.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that point about needing to be aggressive. This is going to be a big Lou Will game.
I think so.
I think Lou Will, he's continued to just show out.
He loves to play the Warriors.
He really does. And he's obviously has some confidence from this Saturday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to predict that maybe Lou goes for over 30.
Oh, I hope we see a Lou Williams 30.
I think you put this note in here. Durant's going to attack the basket and could maybe get Beverly into some early foul trouble.
Yeah.
That could be a place where we maybe lose the game is on the free throw line, like we did against the Blazers, which I think the game was kind of lost on the free throw line and the boards, but a little more the free throw line.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe this is another game, like kind of where I said against the Bucks, where like if we don't really have an answer for Durant, maybe we just let Durant try to win the game by himself. You know,
yeah.
We just cover on the perimeter. We avoid letting Draymond get hot, which like because when it happens, the entire team is amped up.
It sucks.
You know, we guard Clay as well as we can.
We might have downtime Clay too. We might have sleepy Clay.
Yeah. So I think that if we have to allow some points, I'm not going to be that mad if it's Durant taking long twos.
Definitely. I agree with that 100%. Key matchups, we've kind of touched on this. Toby on Durant?
See, I don't know. I honestly think that Gallo is going to play the most time on Durant. He's bigger.
Yeah, he's way bigger than Durant.
I don't know. Toby,
thickness-wise.
Yeah, Toby definitely is faster.
It's such a hard matchup for this team.
It's just really, it is really, really hard. And I guess I just wonder, like, what way they're going to go with it. Like, are they going to, like, kind of lag off of him a little bit and, like, dare him to come to the basket?
Mm.
Are they going to, like, guard all the way out to the perimeter on him? Because I feel like, I don't know.
It's a problem. It's like the Giannis thing. It's like, well, who guards Giannis?
Yeah. Like, I mean, and Giannis is, like, a little bit of an easier problem to solve just due to the lack of shooting.
He doesn't shoot 35% from three.
But yeah, I think that's gonna be a tough matchup. But like, you know, overall, if we can keep everybody else contained, I think that you know it's gonna be very hard for one man to win a game against this Clippers squad.
Shea on Clay, I think Shea's gonna be guarding Clay a little bit this game.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
I think his length is really gonna bother him. I hope this is a game where it's like, oh, Shea's got some grittiness to him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He's shown good defensive prowess, but maybe not that necessarily like toughness. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. He has trouble too, like deciding whether to go over under screens on defense, I've noticed. Which, you know, it's not a knock on him at all. That's just a hard thing to learn
and to
on the
decision
fly.
Decision to make. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. The communication is gonna have to be at an all time high so far this year.
Yeah.
I saw an article, I think it was on Clipperholics, about how we might see Gallo at center.
Okay.
Which could be interesting. We've talked about a little bit on this podcast before.
Yeah. I think that that's a decent matchup size-wise.
Yeah, for sure. You go like Gallo at center, Scott at the four, Toby at the three,
yeah,
Lou at the two, Shea at the one. Hello. Hello, scoring, my old friend.
I definitely like that. I think that in the post, Dre would have a very hard time with Gallo just due to his size. And like he can't back Gallo down.
No.
Like, and Gallo is like two of him wide.
Yeah, he's, you know? Yeah, Gallo's a wide body.
He's a thick boy.
score predictions.
Score predictions. Oh, man. I guess I'm going to go 120 to 113 Clippers.
Nice. I like that. I was going to do a similar range. I'm going to say 115, 108 Clippers. Lou with the 30 points.
All right.
And then maybe Mike Scott with 10.
That'd be nice.
So we got a couple minutes left. We're going to touch on the Minnesota trade.
Minnesota to the Sixers.
Jimmy Butler went to the 76ers for a second round pick, Robert Covington, Jared Bayless, and Dario Saric.
You know, this is actually more than I thought that the Timberwolves would get this late in the game.
For sure. Like this, like when they were like, you can have four firsts, you can have Josh Richardson in the first. It was like, no.
Especially like, especially given how much the perception of Jimmy Butler has changed. You know, I would say that
Definitely.
He went from being a guy that like a lot of people, it's almost like the Kawhi fall from grace last year.
Good
you know,
call.
Where he went from being a guy that was like truly respected to now. I mean, I think there's a hard argument to be made as to whether you'd even want him on a team.
He's a what's his deal guy now?
Yeah,
which
definitely.
I think Kawhi has like brought himself out of because he's like flourishing in Toronto.
Oh yeah, he's just doing great.
And now it's like, what's his deal?
And
with
I
Jimmy
guess
Butler?
There's also the other thing of like, if the Sixers gave up all this and he doesn't re-sign, which I think of the people that we're talking about maybe not re-signing, you know, your Kawhis, or other trades, he is the most likely to me to jump ship.
For sure.
Like, if they're bounced in the first, he's gone.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Because then the process is just over.
Yeah. I mean, it already is. This is the antithesis of the process. Bringing in a max contract for like two guys that you drafted and had on a really great team-friendly contract, one you mined from the G League and the other like you drafted and let mature in another country and now like shipped them off.
Yeah, I don't think, how does this move the needle for the Timberwolves for you? For me, it's like, yeah, they get a little bit better, but they're still not, I think they're almost kind of in the same place. Just because Tibbs is bad.
I think they're in the same place to worse.
I like that take.
I think that the like the chemistry things will definitely be better, but like, man, in a playoff series, Jimmy Butler is a way better ceiling for your team than Saric or Covington.
That's a good point. We got like another minute or so. Melo might be just gone from the Rockets.
Yeah. So
which
it
is kind of a sad fall from grace.
Really sad. These past two seasons, man.
He was your sixth man of the year pick.
Oh, man. I could not have been more wrong.
Could not have whiffed harder. That happens.
It's still, like, I just feel like it's still a small sample size. They've still, like, they still just played so many games without their big two, like, actually together.
For sure.
The defense is freaking awful, which, like, you knew Carmelo was never going to improve.
Oh, it's not the team's fault, for sure.
It's not the team's fault. It's all Melo's fault.
No, it's not. Oh, so excuse me. I say it's not all Melo's fault.
Yeah.
It's
feel
a mutual, like Melo's not as good as he once was, and the Rockets are foolish for. It's like kind of both. The Rockets are foolish for thinking he would be able to be that X factor.
I think here's the thing, too, is like if they were hoping for him to not be Melo, which is to say to not dribble a lot and take long twos and like be comfortable with the ball in that way, like. I don't know what you were expecting.
Yeah, like there's literally a clip of him in preseason taking that long two and being like, haha, sorry. And it's like, seriously, let him do that again.
Yeah.
That's all we got today for you guys. Tomorrow we're going to have a recap of the Warriors game, probably, hopefully a victory, and take a look at what's happening on NBA Twitter on Twitter Tuesdays. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.